fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today we present another in our continuing series of studies from the book of Proverbs. Our teacher today is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who until the time he went to be with his Lord, served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 18, and we're going to consider today verses 17 to 24. That's Proverbs 18, 17 to 24. This chapter is part of the central section of the book of Proverbs, which began back in chapter 10 and concludes with chapter 22 and verse 16. The whole of this comprises a divine system of morals of universal application, a treasury of divine wisdom in all its diversified details, personal, domestic, social, and civil. Now, in these verses before us today, we have seven proverbs. In verse 17, there is a proverb regarding justice. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. Now, this proverb is simply an exhortation to be cautious in a lawsuit, to be sure to hear the case out before pronouncing judgment. You see, premature judgment is often wrong, for when a plaintiff comes and he presents his cause, and as one hears it, it seems to be a just cause. But when the defendant comes along and his case is presented, and there is a searching out of the matter, oftentimes that which seemed at first to be just is not just, and therefore is wrong. And so we need to be very careful, not only in lawsuits, but in our own decisions, to avoid premature judgment, hasty decisions, and acting before we search out a matter. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 18, there is one that regards lots. A lot causeth contentions to cease, and parteth between the mighty. Now, the casting of lots was an ancient method of making decisions. Among the people of God, it was a method which determined the Lord's will. As a matter of fact, you recall in chapter 16 and verse 33, we read, "The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord." And God's people employed this method of coming to discern the Lord's will. Now, since the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, we do not need this method of determining God's will. We can search the Scripture and ask the Lord to reveal His will to us, and consequently, the Holy Spirit is faithful to do so. But the lot causeth contention to cease. Now, that means disputes were frequently settled by the casting of lots, and how the lot fell would determine how dispute would be settled. Not only so, but the casting of the lot parteth between the mighty. Now, this word parteth between simply means separates between or restores harmony, brings about peace between those who are strong in their contending one against another. And when the lot is cast and the strife or dispute has been brought to an end, harmony is restored between strong contenders, and there is a peace between them. In verse 19, there is a proverb regarding offense. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Now, a brother offended is a brother toward whom one has acted deceitfully or unjustly, one who has been disloyal and unfaithful, who has used unethical dealings with a brother, and therefore has brought a grievance and a wound in the brother's heart. Now, a brother so offended is harder to be won than a strong city. This can be rendered, he resists more than a strong city. That is, he resists any effort for reconciliation more than a well-fortified city, a city of walls and a city of watchmen, a city where the gates are well-fortified and where defenders are well-armed. And then this proverb goes on to say, their contentions are like the bars of a castle, or strife between such a brother and his offender resists more than the bolts of a palace, no matter how well bolted that palace is, which resists the attempt of the besiegers to attack and take the city. The strife that is brought up between an offended brother and one who has offended him resists more than that. And it's difficult then to secure a reconciliation between a brother who has been wronged and wounded in an unethical manner and his offender. In verses 20 and 21, there's a proverb regarding speech. Verse 20 says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. This is just one way of saying that a man must bear the responsibilities of his speech. A man is responsible for what he says. I know many times I have walked up upon men who have been given to swearing, using foul language of one kind or another, and upon their consciousness of my presence, they have been embarrassed, and they confessed their sin of doing so and said, we really didn't mean this. Well, such speech comes out from a heart, and man is responsible for how he allows his tongue to be used and what he says. And it says here in verse 20 that his stomach is going to be satisfied. That is, he's going to be satiated with the fruit of his mouth, and he's going to be filled with the increase of his lips. So he must bear the responsibility of what he says. The Lord Jesus said, by your words, you're going to be judged or condemned, and by your words, you're going to be justified. Speech is an important matter. And then verse 21 carries the proverb a little further and says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. This tells us not only must man bear the responsibility of his speech, but a man's speech sometimes can be devastating. It can be cruel. As a matter of fact, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And therefore, cautious speech may preserve life, whereas rash talk can imperil it. And certainly there's such a thing as character assassination that comes from the sharp tongue of men who seek to destroy the reputation of others. Now, verse 21 goes on to say, they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. That is to say, those who indulge in talk, those who use this delicate instrument called the tongue, must take the consequences of the way in which they employ that tongue. And if their tongue is used to bring death, then they must be ready to face the consequences of having used the tongue in such a dastardly way. If that tongue is used in order to preserve life, then they must be prepared for the consequences of this also. And then in verse 22, there's a proverb regarding wives. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The verb here, findeth and obtaineth, both are in the past tense in the Hebrew language. There's really no tense in Hebrew, but it would be normally in the past if the time element were involved in the verb. And so it really means whosoever hath found a wife, hath found a good thing, and hath obtained favor of the Lord. Now, of course, this implies that the wife is a good wife, that is, one who fulfills the responsibility of and fills the role of a good wife. You recall in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18 that after God had created man, it said, "It is not good that man be left alone. I will make a helpmeet for him." And then, of course, later he caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam, took one of his ribs, and from that rib constructed the woman and brought him her to Adam, and she became his helpmeet. So he that findeth a good wife, then, a woman who acts in the role of a good wife, has found a good thing, an asset, an helper suitable for him, and he has been especially blessed of the Lord. In verse 23, there's a proverb regarding entreaty. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. Dalish has well summarized this proverb for us in these words, and I quote, "The proverb expresses a fact of experience as a consolation to the poor to whom, if a rich man insults him, nothing unusual occurs, and as a warning to the rich that he may not permit himself to be divested of humanity by mammon." And then in verse 24, there's a proverb regarding friendship. "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." The Hebrew literally reads, "A man of friends cometh off a loser." That is, a man who indiscriminately multiplies friendships, does it to his own destruction. He brings ruin to himself. But there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, that is more faithful than a brother. And you know, we know that friend, and that's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if you know him. He wants to be your friend. He died on the cross that he might save you from your sin. And if you'll trust him, he'll not only save your soul, but become this closer sticking friend to you.
You've been listening to another lesson in our continuing studies from the book of Proverbs on the Bible Institute of the Air. Today's study was by Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty of Bob Jones University. We trust that the timeless truths taught in these studies, recorded by Mr. Boyd during his earthly ministry, will help you in your daily walk with the Lord. Join us again next time for more helpful studies on the Bible Institute of the Air. This program is a production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.